You're not doing okay? That's all right. Pray. It'll be better. I promise. Leave it to the children. No, not doing okay. Blessed beyond measure. You got things your parents never had when they were your age. No, not doing okay. Yeah, okay. I tell these kids all the time, boredom's a choice. Boredom's a choice. We grew up poor. Still poor, but the version of poor today is a whole lot more than what the version of poor was 20 years ago. Amen. 2 Kings 23. Stand with me when you get there. Sorry. 2 Kings 23:25. I'll get focused right here in a minute. We're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to look at another passage as well. 2 Kings 23, verse number 25. Here we're talking about Josiah, and it says, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Here this verse tells us, if there's no king before him, and he's a king over in Israel, if there's no king that rose before him that was close to God, that means that he was closer to God than even the great King David. Right? We can make that assumption because it's what your Bible says. No king that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. That means he did more for the glory of God than even King David. That means he did more for the glory of God than King Solomon, who built the temple with the money and the offerings that David had prepared. Josiah. He started out as a boy king, 8 years old. Go over to 2 Chronicles. To the right, two books. Here's 2 Kings, there's 1 Chronicles, and there's 2 Chronicles. Chapter 35. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. Verse number 20. Josiah was a great king, but he didn't have such a great ending. So we're going to look at here, 2 Chronicles 35, verse number 20. After all this, talking about the great Passover that Josiah kept, the great work of God, he sacrificed over 41,000 animals. It's a lot of blood. It's a lot of animals. It's a lot of eating right there. It's a big feast. Kill it and grill it, bless God. Verse 20, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God." This is what the other king was telling Josiah. "Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." This king was saying, I've got God on my side. I'm doing the will of God for my life. Don't get in my way. This is Josiah, the one who was serving God with all of his heart. But at the end of his life, he met a death that should not have been because he was not listening to God. Verse 22, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah. The king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.'" And later on, Josiah dies at the end of the chapter. Let's pray. I'll give you the title and the message here in just a moment. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us to understand the meaning tonight. So much truth, so many scriptures. I would love to flip between. We just don't have time to give the whole story of everything that Josiah accomplished for the cause of Christ. But God, I pray that you'd help us to take heed to some of the things that Josiah did, but also to recognize the downfall, to be able to make the adjustments in our lives necessarily. Use us, guide us, teach us from your word. We ask these things. In your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here we're going to look at Josiah, and we're going to look at a decision that he made in his life. And we're going to look at what his advice would be to us today. So we could say this would be advice from King Josiah. Advice from King Josiah. Josiah was known as the boy king back in 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter number 23. He became king at the age of 8. I don't know any 8-year-old that I want telling me what to do. All right. My wife and I first got married. I taught at a Christian school there in Arkansas. And even when we were dating at the time, we were in Bible college, I've always had an issue with children telling parents what to do. I've always had an issue with that. My parents raised me different. If I would have told my mama what to do, I would have been picking my teeth up off the floor. All right. My mom didn't put up with that. And she's in heaven now. Praise the Lord. Bless her soul. But she didn't put up with that kind of talk. There's a lot of older generations that did not put up with that. My grandfather was of the generation that children were to be seen and not heard. You walk into a room as a child and there's adults that are in there talking. If a child were to begin talking, you got reprimanded just right in front of God and everybody. And then told to be quiet, and they finished their conversation, and then they addressed you. You speak when you're spoken to. All right, I don't know if everybody's home was that way, but that's the way my grandparents operated. We could have had a broken bone and somebody dying in the back field. It didn't matter. They were having a conversation inside. Kids were to be seen and not heard. So, I don't remember many times I got in trouble because I came in and interrupted. I learned real quick that I wasn't going to be the gopher anymore. So somebody else was going to go tell them what was going on. I was tired of getting in trouble. But here, Josiah was 8 years old and he's telling the whole nation what to do and how to live for God. As a young boy, he brought revival back to the land. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23, the Bible tells us that he reigned for 31 years. And he saw great things take place. Go back with me to 2 Kings 22. We'll look at some of the things that happened here. Just by way of introduction before we get into the truths of the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 22, you'll find the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He turned not to the right hand nor to the left in 2 Kings 22, verse number 2. And you'll find that from verses 3 all the way down to verse number 13, that he tells his followers, his men, to go to the temple of God and to clean up the house of God and to take report of the treasury there. And they found the word of God. And they brought it back and they read it before the king. And when they read it to him, he was humbled in the sight of God. He repented and he began to make all these different changes because Israel was not operating according to the word of God like they should have been. You'll find in chapter 23 that they read the covenant to the people. And the Bible says the people stood while he was reading it. In verse 4, he went through and destroyed all the idols. In verse number 5, he fired all of the ungodly priests. In verse number 6, he burned down the trees. That would be the groves that they were worshiping. In verse number 7, he tore down the houses of the Sodomites. Tore them down and made them into dunghills. In verse number 8, he destroyed all the high places. Down in verse number 10, he destroyed the cities where they were worshiping the false gods. In verse 11, he destroyed their chariots that were built for the false gods and even killed the horses in the process. Verse 12, he destroyed the altars that they worshiped the false gods on. And in verse 13, my favorite one, he digs up the bones of the dead priests that were leading Israel to serve false gods. He dug up their bones and then burned them to ash. Because they led the children of Israel to sin. When he had revival, man, he had revival. He was getting rid of everything. And the Bible says there was no king that served God like him. He was a young man that had a fervency. He was a young man that had a fire and a desire to serve God with his life. But he messed up along the way. After they recovered the word of God, you'll find over, we're not going to go to it, you can read it later. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35, you'll find that he performs the Passover. The children of Israel had not kept the Passover for years. And the Passover was a picture of the coming of Christ. It was for the atonement of sin, the covering of sin for a year. And so they were supposed to hold it annually. But they had chosen not to hold the Passover for one reason or for another. Well, he held the biggest Passover ever in the land of Israel. And they sacrificed 41,400 different lambs. Shed the blood of every one of them. Cooked them all up, grilled them. They had lamb chops for days. It was great. But they had a wonderful Passover, all because somebody got right with God. All because somebody wanted to get the country back to where God wanted them to be. But then at the end of his life, he didn't do everything quite like he should have done. There are three things I believe that we can learn from the life of Josiah. Two things that he did right and one thing that he did wrong. All right? The first thing we're going to look at is in 2 Kings chapter 22. If we were to take advice from Josiah tonight and we were to look at his life and specifically what he did right, I believe that Josiah would tell us that we, number one, as a church, we need to love the Word of God. If we're going to listen to some advice from Josiah tonight, I believe Josiah would tell us that we need to, number one, love the Word of God. Go to verse number 8. Here he had told the people of God to go to the tabernacle. In verse 4, he tells them that. Verse number 8, let's skip down to it. It says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hands of them that do the work, so they are paying the carpenters the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So then Hilkiah does exactly what the king says to do. Let me give you the story here. They go to the temple and they check out the work that the carpenters have been doing. They gather up the money or the usury of the temple, the treasury that's there. And they begin to pay the carpenters for that. While they are there, they find copies of the Word of God. You'll find over in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 that the Bible refers to the Psalms and the Proverbs or the writings of David and the writings of Solomon. So the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Song of Solomon with the book of the law that was already written. All right, so Moses' book of the law, the first five books of the Bible, and then the books of poetry had already been written. And they already had copies of all of that. And so they had read these things and they had seen these things. Well, they had lost track of it because it had been in the temple. And people had not been going to the temple like they should have been. People had not been worshiping God like they should have been. And Josiah began to fix all of that. So they found the Word of God and they read the Word of God. The Bible says that Hilkiah, in verse 8, the high priest said unto Shaphan, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, first off, here's a problem. The high priest is literally the one that is going to God on behalf of all of Israel. He is the one guy that you would imagine, if there is a religious problem, he would have an answer to it. They did not know where the Bible was, and the high priest couldn't find it. How far away from God had they gotten that the high priest lost the Bible in the church house? Think about that. Again, don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible. This is exactly what is happening. Hilkiah is the high priest, and they lost the word of God. Notice what he says. I have found. If he's found something, that means it had been lost. Right? How long were they without the word of God? Probably for years. It was not important in their life. What happens? He found the book of the law. He knew exactly what it was when he found it. Okay? What does he do? He gives it to Shaphan, the scribe. Shaphan then reads the book. So Shaphan knows what the book is, correct? Somebody hands you a Bible and you read the Bible, you're going to know that it's the Bible. So Shaphan knew that he had the Word of God. He knew that he had the book of the law. What does Shaphan go and say? Verse 10, Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. Notice your wording, a book. He goes to the king and says, hey, King Josiah, Hilkiah the high priest gave me a book. Now, if you're referring to just a general book, show up. I've been given a book. I don't know what to do with it. Right? I mean, like a teenager getting a book for school. I've been given a book. I don't know. You ask where their schoolwork is at. I don't know. Well, did you put your book in your bag?
I don't know. Because
that's a word now. Right? I don't know how to spell it, but that's a word. I don't know. Well, what are you supposed to do with the book?
I don't know.
Maybe read it? What do you think? Kids give great answers, don't they? Open it up. Let's see what it's about. Well, it's just a book. Well, your comic book's not just a book. No, it's my favorite book. I love my comic book. I can tell you all about what happened in my comic book. But this is just a book. That's the comparisons being made. Hilkiah gives him the word of God, and Shaphan the scribe. Remember, what is the scribe to do? A scribe translates the word of God or copies the word of God. The scribe had been so far away from God and have not seen the book of the law, he didn't know the importance of the Bible when it was handed to him. And he goes to the king and he says, Hilkiah the high priest just gave me a book. He gave me a book. Hilkiah said, this is the book of the law. This is what we've been missing in our land. Shaphan takes it to the king and says, hey, here's a book. Do we understand? Do we see the lack of concern on the scribe's part? That's exactly where our churches are at right now. We can get up and preach hell hot and heaven sweet. We can get up and preach about the importance of the Word of God. But when we go home, what do we do with our Bibles? Do we just throw them down? It's just a book. I don't need it. It's just a book. I don't read it. It's going to be right there, so I know where it's at next time I get to go to church. I'm going to walk by it every day. We're going to clean stuff up in the house. It comes time for church. We're running late. Honey, where's my Bible? I don't know. If you've been reading it, you'd know where it was at. Right? Here. The importance of the Word of God. Hilkiah says, I have found what? The book of the law in verse 8. In verse 10, Shaphan says, Hilkiah gave me a book. I don't know what to do with it, but it's a book. So what does Josiah say? Taking too long on this part. But what does Josiah say? At the end of verse 10, Shaphan read it before the king. So, maybe Josiah, reading in between the lines here, told Shaphan, okay, well, if he gave you a book, maybe it's important for us to read. Go ahead and read it. What does it say? What's the importance of this book? Because Josiah is just going based off the word that he was given. Okay, it's a book. All right, well, read it to me. What does it say? So he reads it. Verse 11. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. When Josiah heard the word of God read, he knew exactly what it was. He knew exactly what they had been missing. He knew exactly what the problem in Israel was. They didn't have the Word of God like they should have. If we're going to take some advice from King Josiah tonight, first and foremost, it ought to be that we should love the Word of God. You see, at this time in Josiah's life, he's 26 years old. Okay? It's 18 years after he was anointed to be king. 26 years old. They go, take inventory of the house of God, repair the house of God. Hilkiah gave him the book, the Word of God. Shaphan read it. He brought it to Josiah. Josiah heard it. He got convicted and declared, "This is the Word of God." And we see in verse 12, he says that. In verse number 13, he tells him, "Go and tell others about what God has done now." So when we read the Word of God, just by way of going through the message here, when we read the Word of God, three things ought to take place in our lives. Number one, in verses number 11, we should listen to the Word of God. Okay? We should listen. Listen, whether or not you read it audibly or whether or not you read it silently, regardless, you don't have to always listen with your ears. You need to listen with your heart. Okay? We need to listen to the Word of God and allow it to take some root into our lives. Secondly, in verse number 11, not only should we listen because he heard the words, we should humble ourselves before God. So we should hear it, and then we should humble ourselves before God as well. And then in verse number 13, we should make a change in our lifestyle. Or we should honor the words of God. Hear it, humble ourselves, and then honor it, or do what God said to do. He says, go and inquire of the Lord. We should make a change. Anytime you read your Bible, anytime you spend time in the Word of God, anytime we come to church and hear the Word of God being preached and being proclaimed and being taught, these three things ought to take place in our lives. We ought to hear it. We ought to humble ourselves, and we ought to honor the Word that was given to us. Listen, we have been given a truth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, that we should hold fast to the things which we have been given. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Why do things slip out of our hands? Because we're not holding on to them like we should. There's a lot of truth right now that's slipping down out of our hands and not getting passed to the next generation simply because we're not holding on to things like we should. We don't see the importance. We don't understand the severity of the truths of the Word of God. You'll find not only would Josiah tell us that we need to love the Word of God, according to chapter number 23 and all the works that he had done, he would tell us, secondly, we need to live our lives for God. We need to love the Word of God, but secondly, we need to live our lives for God. When Josiah was 16, he began to seek after God. When he was 20, he destroyed the false temples and the high places, the groves, and all the false gods that were in the land. He did all of this before he got a copy of the Bible. We say that again. He did all of that ignorantly before he got a copy of the Word of God. There are a lot of people that are seeking to do the right things, but they don't have the guidance of Scripture. It's our responsibility to give them Scripture. It's our responsibility to make sure they have the Word of God. We do right simply because it's the right thing to do. We've got a conscience. We've got a moral compass deep inside of us. And we understand that even the world is going to teach you some values outside of God. Okay? Even the world is going to teach you some morals. They have their own set of laws, correct? There's certain things that you're not allowed to do, correct? The world will tell you that, and that's outside of God. So even the world is trying to better themselves in certain things. But once he was 26 and he got a copy of the Word of God, things got real quick. Okay, up to this point, remember, he had already destroyed the false temples. He had already destroyed the high places. He had already destroyed several of the groves. So he knew what was wrong. He just didn't know what was right all the time. So now that he's got a copy of the Word of God, chapter 23, he does all these other things that I told you about already. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse number 18, he had the largest Passover that had ever been had. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse number 27, he humbled himself before God. You see, in order for us, like Josiah, in order for us to live our lives for God, there's a few steps that must be taken. We must remove the idols out of our lives. Josiah could not lead the people of God to serve God if they kept all the idols there in the land. So they had to remove those things. They had to get rid of those things. Not only should they have removed the idols, but he also told them to remove the ungodly influences. That's why he got rid of all the high priests. That's why he dug up their bones and burned them. And I love that verse. In case you couldn't tell, that's my favorite verse in the whole passage. I love it. Destroyed every bit of it. But then once he got a copy of the Word of God, he told the people, go and inquire of the Lord. And so he followed the truths of the Word of God. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. Listen, we've got enough of this buffet Christianity. We've got enough of this Burger King Christianity. Have it your way. You rule. No, okay, right? We've got enough of that going around. But the fact is, in the Christian life, your way and my way, guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. That's exactly right. Doesn't matter at all. Our opinions don't matter because God's Word is our final authority. God's Word is the absolute in all of our faith. That's what we believe. And in all of our practice, that's what we do. Remember what I said just last week? We can talk a spiritual talk. But in all reality, everything that we say is a spiritual talk. But if we're not doing it, it's just religious talk. Because we do what we actually believe in reality. If we believe it, we're going to do it. Listen, I am a Florida Gators fan when it comes to college football, college basketball, college anything. I love the Florida Gators. I grew up in Arkansas. People are like, why don't you like the Pig? I'm not rooting for a hog. It's that simple. So everybody in my family roots for the Pigs. I don't. I was different. I was the weird one. I'm still the weird one. That's okay. But I like the Gators. Brother Nick, you like the Sooners, don't you? And in the NFL, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Amen, Brother Roberto. We're holding the ground. Brother Zach's a Chiefs fan. I ain't never going to see him wear a Dallas Cowboys shirt. Not unless revival takes place. Brother Nick's a Buccaneers fan. As a Buccaneers fan, you're probably not going to walk around in a Saints hat. Division rivals. You can say all these different things and people, listen, I can say that I love all variety of sports, but I'm not going to go put on a Philadelphia Eagles jersey. I don't care if they just won the Super Bowl. I don't like them. They're a division rival. My brother-in-law sent me a picture of his Saquon Barkley shirt, jersey. That he got for the Super Bowl. I'm like, heresy. I'm going to delete this picture off my phone. Lick it. Now, I don't know why I said all that. Back to the outline. Follow the truths of the Word of God. Because what we believe, we actually put into practice. That's where I was going. That's what I was saying. Sorry, I was talking about sports there for a minute. It's all gone. What we believe, we put into practice. We could say we believe things all day long, but if we're not actually doing it, then we don't believe it. Here, Josiah, he believed God, and he wanted to live for God. And so he did everything in his power to create opportunities, not just for him to succeed for God, but for the whole country to succeed for God. Listen, that's our responsibility as a church. We were talking Brother Nick and Brother Anthony when we went to the men's conference. Why do we do these things? Why are we playing in a men's conference? Why are we playing a ladies' conference? Because we're trying to create opportunities for God's people to succeed. Creating opportunities for God's people to grow. It's not for us. It's not for me. Now, yes, I do want to go to these things. I don't want to go to the ladies' thing. I want to go to the men's conference. I want to learn, yes. But I'm not doing it selfishly for me. It's not for my glory. It's not for my accolades. It's for the glory of God and for the growth of God's people. Why do we start up a Thursday night door knocking again? To create more opportunities for folks. To free up some schedules. To create things for people. Because that's our job as a church. To create opportunities for God's people to succeed in the work of God. In the work of God. There's some changes that's going to be taking place over the course of the next several months. Here and there, small things, little bitty things. Some delegating of responsibilities has taken place. Why? To create growth. Opportunities for growth. Why? For God's people. It's not because anybody's anything great. Because we want God's people to grow. We ought to love the Word of God. We ought to do everything we can to live our lives for God. And then lastly, let's go to 2 Chronicles 35, the end of his life. And I'm going to say this as graciously as I possibly can. Not because I'm anything, because I'm not. But I believe the last thing that Josiah would tell us, not only love the Word of God, not only live your life for God, but I believe thirdly he would say, we need to listen to the man of God. Amen. It's not because I'm up here preaching it. I want you to take it the wrong way. It's not because I'm the pastor that I'm saying these things. It doesn't matter who stands behind the pulpit. When the man of God is preaching the Word of God, we ought to listen to it. Amen. We ought to listen to it. Josiah had gotten to a point in his life where he had done so well. And then at the end of his life, notice the phrase again. We read it a minute ago. Go to verse number 21. But he sent ambassadors to him saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Then I've got this next phrase highlighted. Forbear thee from meddling with God. I wonder how many times do we meddle with God? How many times do we quarrel? That's what meddle means, to fight against, to quarrel. I wonder how many times we meddle against God. He said, who is with me? He said, I know I'm doing the will of God. I know I'm doing exactly what God has commanded me to do. And then he says, don't meddle with God. Why? That he destroy thee not. Because God's going to have the final word. If you go against the word of God, God's going to have the final say. You're not going to have me coming up and saying, hey, I told you so. Because that's not the intent on why we preach the word of God. It's not an I told you so gospel. It's God said do this, and if you don't do this, judgment is coming. And when we deny the word of God and we do it our own way, and the judgment comes, the man of God doesn't show up and say, listen, you should have listened to me. We don't say that. We come up and say, I'm so sorry this happened. Let's try to rebuild your life. Take your Bibles, go to Titus. We're just going to listen to the Holy Spirit right here. No, sorry, 2 Timothy, not Titus. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 24. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord. That's not just a man of God, that's all of us. Okay? Specifically, yes, this is a pastoral epistle. So yes, it's specifically written to Titus as being the man of God. So yes, we can make the application that this is specific to the man of God. But we understand the Bible is also for all of us. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. some people, when we begin to express the Word of God, we begin to express concern in our lives, we begin to go through the Word of God and show you exactly what God expects out of us and out of our lives, some people are very stubborn. I are one of them. Amen. Some of us are stubborn. But we are to be gentle unto all men. We are to not strive. I'm not going out looking for a fight. Now, if one shows up, I'm not against fighting. But I'm not going out looking for a fight. All right? Apt to teach. There are some people who generally want to learn the Scripture. There are some people, and according to the previous verse, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. There are some people who are just going to try to cause problems, yes. But here he says, apt to teach, patient. Some people we've got to be patient with. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's those that they have no self-confidence. They are hindering the very work of God in their lives by the decisions they are making. They're opposing themselves. They want to do right, but they keep tripping themselves up. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God wants them ultimately to repent and to do right. But in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves. The word recover means to get sober. Like after you're drunk. Recover yourselves. To get back in your right mind. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him and his will. There are some times where people are going to make the wrong decision. Go back to 2 Chronicles. They're going to make a wrong decision like Josiah did in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. There are going to be some people who begin to do things their own way. They're not going to listen to the man of God. And when that happens, we're going to be there to help pick those pieces up in their lives. We're not going to be there to say, ha, I told you so, you should have listened. First off, that's petty and childish. Okay? Second of all, you can't fulfill the office of a pastor by being sober or serious when you're kicking God's people while they're down. Right? Can't fulfill the work of a pastor when you're supposed to be patient and apt to teach when all we're doing is berating and belittling people because they're human beings and they make mistakes. Okay? I have a very strong conviction of what a pastor ought to be according to the Scriptures. All right? And we've gone through all of that several months ago. But there are going to be times where people are going to make mistakes. There are going to be times where people choose to do what they want to do rather than taking the advice of the Word of God. It's not me they're rejecting. I'm just human. Okay? I'm just a vessel. It's the Word of God. When we give the truths of the Word of God, you're going to choose to either listen or not. When we get the truth of the Word of God, we got two options to do. We either repent. Oh, three options, I guess, really. We repent. We rebel. Or we receive the Word. I guess receive and repent would be the same thing. Right? The Bible says, they that gladly receive the Word. Right? There were others, like Jannes and Jambres and Alexander the coppersmith. There were those that rebelled against the Word of God. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So, I mean, there's really only two options. Receive it or rebel against it. One or the other. And it's not me that you're rebelling against. It's the Word of God. It's not me that you're receiving. It's the Word of God. So I'm not taking any of that personally. But prayerfully, yes, we want God's people to succeed. We want you to receive the Word of God, and we want you to practice the Word of God. But there's going to be times where you choose to do what you want to do. And we need to be there to help recover you out of the snare of the devil. The Bible says, who were taken captive by him, the phrase is given, at his will. That means we gave permission to the devil to attack our lives. The Bible says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. May connotates permission. Who's given the devil permission to attack their lives? He said, I don't ever give the devil permission to attack my life. When we choose to rebel against the Word of God, we are choosing to serve Satan by default. Two choices. One or two. And we've got a choice to make. We need to love the Word of God. We need to live our lives for God. But lastly, Josiah would tell you, because of the way he ended his life, he would tell you, I should have listened to the man of God. I should have listened. Look at verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho. Notice the next phrase. From the mouth of God. He knew that Necho was speaking from God. He knew that Necho was the vessel that God had chosen to use at that time. But let me tell you this. Josiah got arrogant. In reality, Josiah had been a boy king. From 8 to 16, man, he was doing great things for God. They were having revival in the land. From 16 to 20, again, revival. They were tearing down the groves. They were burning the stuff up. At the age of 26, he found the Word of God, and great revival took place. He only reigned for 31 years, meaning he died at 39. 8 plus 31 is 39.
I know too much math.
Okay. He died at 39. Which literally means from 26, from the time that he got the Word of God, and just the whole country was beginning to turn toward God, for 13 years, they were doing right. But somewhere in there, he began to get arrogant. He began to think that God would only speak through him. And God couldn't use anybody else. Woe unto us when we think that we've got it all figured out. I make a joke all the time. When my wife and I are talking to different folks, we joke around all the time. I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. She was talking to a friend. Many of you know Brother Seth, Miss Kimmy, there in Bradford. She had texted my wife had texted Miss Kim about a question from a pastor's wife to a pastor's wife, and she said, honestly, I have no idea what to do. I'm just winging it over here. I appreciate that. You know, great advice in the ministry. It's very encouraging. But we joke around with different things. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to take it the wrong way. Okay? So I'm going to say it as gracefully as I possibly can. There's a lot of things in life that I don't know much about. Okay? I don't know much about mechanics. I don't know much about tech. I've got friends for those things. Brother Anthony, amen. Brother Jeff, I go to him anytime I got a question about mechanics. There are things that I don't know much about. But the Word of God's not one of them. I don't say that arrogantly. Okay? I want you to understand my heart. If there's one thing in this life that I'm striving to learn, is the Word of God. Okay? I want to know this book. I do a lot of reading, and I follow a lot of politics. I'll follow sports. I read a ton of material all the time. But you know what I read the most about? The Bible. Because this is what I want to learn. This is our craft. This is the important thing. This is what's going to last. So when I'm sharing with you the Word of God, I plead with you. Again, I'm saying this graciously. Listen. We might learn something. Okay? I was sharing with my wife here recently. There was a complication with something. Somebody was not listening to some different things. And my wife asked me about it. And I made this statement to her. And I'm not going to share any names or anything. I made this statement to her. I said, you know, if they would just listen to me, they might learn something. Remember that? I didn't say it arrogantly. And I told her, I said, well, I don't say that arrogantly. But I know what I'm talking about because it's the Bible. That's one of the few things that I try to make sure that I know. I don't know all of it. I'll be the first to admit that. Okay? And if I don't have an answer and somebody asks me a question, I'm going to go find the answer. I'm going to search and research. I'm going to study. I'm going to get the answer for you. But please listen when we're preaching the Word of God. I want you to stay faithful and I want you to do right and I want your family to do right. That's why we plead with you. Here the man of God told him, don't go to war. And what happened? He did it anyway. Many times we choose to do our own thing and not listen when the man of God gives us advice. It could be a warning, young people, about friendships that you have. You want to do your own thing. It could be a warning to stay away from a certain crowd. Because the Bible says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The Bible says that the man of God is set up on a watchtower. He's a watchman. He can see a little bit further down the road and he sees the end of the road and he sees what's happening and what's coming. You see, children, when your parents are telling you not to hang around a certain crowd, it could be they know because they've been down that road. They know the end result of that. They've been there. They've done that. As we used to say back in our day, they got the t-shirt. All right? Yeah, looking at me funny. I know you never heard that before. We used to say it all the time as teenagers. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. More like been there, done that, got the scar to prove it. You know, sometimes there's people who the man of God has given counsel. I've talked even with Brother Thoreau about this on several occasions in the past. And people would ask for advice about a job situation. Many times they would do their own will rather than listening to advice. Now again, ultimately you're responsible for your decision. You do whatever you want to do. Somebody comes to me, and I've had different folks come to me and ask advice for different things, and I tell them ultimately, you know, this is the pro, this is the con, but ultimately you've got to make the decision. I'm not going to make it for you. Why? Because it's your decision, it's your life, not mine. I'll give you some advice, and I'll show you exactly the good and the bad and the ugly of all of it. There have been times where people have been advised not to take a certain job because it's going to take them out of church, even though it may pay more. They're not going to be able to get off for certain things. They choose to do their own thing, and guess what? Their family ends up hurting because of it. They say, but I'm making more than I've ever made before. Yeah, but you're out of the will of God, or you're not serving God like you used to, and guess what? God's still going to get His money. And you're going to find, based on testimony even we shared a minute ago, you're going to find that sometimes making more money is not what it's all cut out to be. Sometimes people have been advised not to move to a certain location for a job because there's not a good church in that area. Now listen, there are churches everywhere, but it doesn't mean there's a good church there. Amen. Now, I'm not the person that's going to compare. Okay? Our church is special. I'll just say that. Our church is special. I've been in a lot of churches. Our church is special. You're going to find a lot of churches like our church. It's special. There's a close-knitness. The visitor had been coming, Brother Brad, talking with me this morning. Shook his hand on his way out. I said, man, I look forward to you coming back. He said, man, thank y'all for welcoming me. That's a visitor. Your church has been so welcoming. A lot of churches say that. I know. I've been in them. Many of you have been in them. Brother Brandon and I, we talk about that regularly. A lot of churches that just don't welcome people for one reason or another. I don't understand it. Sometimes you get warnings not to do certain things, but we choose to do whatever we want to do. I think if Josiah were to give us some advice tonight, there'd be three things that he would say. Say, love the Word of God. Love it. Love it. Do everything you can to soak it up. Love the Word of God. Secondly, he would say, live your life for God the best you can. Live for God with everything you've... Listen, we put everything that we have into certain things. Why don't we put everything we have into the will of God for our lives? Serve God with everything you've got. And lastly, I believe he would say, his major mistake was he didn't listen to the man of God. And it's not because I'm something. I'm not. Okay? I'm ignorant in a lot of areas. But God gives us wisdom for certain things when we need it. God gives visions when they're needed. God gives revelations as they're needed. I believe that. It's biblical. And we need to listen to the guidance. There are about 40 or 44 different folks that I text every Sunday morning. Brother Anthony's been here. When I'm texting, my wife goes to my phone. She makes it a habit. She'll go through my phone on Sunday nights. I want to see what your preacher friends all said. There's guys that I'll text. And we'll text throughout the week. Different things. One of the guys I texted this morning, he asked me what I was preaching. I sent him the outline. He reiterated my outline. I didn't use it. But he reiterated my outline. I'm like, I already got it alliterated, man. What are you doing? So you preach it this way. No, I'm not going to preach it that way. I'm preaching it this way. That's what God gave me. But they're encouraging. I'll text preachers and tell them, God's doing this. We got our new sign up and I sent a picture to Brother Miller. I told him as soon as we got our sign, I was going to send it to him. It's the first thing this morning he texted me. He said, God's doing great things. He starts talking about, give me a list of things, this and that. Other people are getting excited about what God's doing in our midst. It's not because we're anything great. Because God's got plans for our church. We're just going to step out by faith and keep doing what God's called us to do. But here, if Josiah were to give some advice, I believe that's what he'd tell us tonight. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed.